Didn't you work as a research scientist at the Liberty Mutual Institute for Safety, and his academic interests include home injury, quantitative methods, and demographics of the U.S.? Welcome.
Thank you. First, I want to acknowledge the contribution from my co-authors, Ted Santosh and Dave. All of them have made the presentation and the manuscript much better. So I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. My colleagues have talked about our institute, so I won't repeat this part. So first is motivation. Why do we care about this topic? Well, if we look at the time diary data, we'll find that American adults spend over half of their waking time sitting. And it is not sitting per se that is concerning, but the health consequences of it. A lot of studies have shown, for example, independent of physical activities, long sitting time contributes to higher risk of obesity and, for example, mortality or type 2 diabetes. Also, sitting may have injury consequences. If a worker sits at a desk all day long, then pretty much this worker will be immune from all the occupational hazard. But we all know that sitting too long might contribute to weight gain, which has been shown to be a risk factor for injury by our previous study. So it is this overall health impact of prolonged sitting time and also the potential injury consequences of obesity. So at the Institute, we took initiatives to study the connection between the two. Okay. So let's first look at what others have found. Well, a lot of study has been done with regards to sedentary behaviors at leisure time and obesity. But when it comes to sedentary behaviors at work, studies are limited and also pretty mixed. About half of the cross-sectional studies found a connection, but half of them not. But it's hard to tell which one is right because they all differ in study design, measurement, and regression models. There are a few cohort studies available, but you know, all of them are based on pre-1995 data from Nordic countries like Norway or Denmark. So it's hard to claim that the results from those studies are generalizable to the circumstances that the U.S. workers are facing. So what do we do? How do we address this empirical the gap in the knowledge? Well, let's use a U.S.-based cohort study, and this is our data set, the National Longitudinal Study, a National Longitudinal Survey of Youth. Although not heard a lot in among the public health professionals, this is a very important survey in social and economic research. The data, or the sample, represents the U.S. civilian workforce. And the good thing about this data is that even after 30 years of follow-up, it remains to have a very high response rate and a low attrition rate. For our study, we analyzed data from 2002 to 2010. The sample size is around 5,300, and the age range at the beginning of the study is around 38 to 45. So with the data, we can examine the outcome, which is a BMI based on self-reported height and weight. First, we drew the BMI trajectories by gender. As you can see, the increase in BMI is fairly modest across these 8 years. For men, it increased from about 28 to 29, and for women, from 27 to just above 28. What this tells us is that given that the overall increase is already fairly modest, the magnitude of individual predictors is unlikely to be huge because the overall effect is a summation of all the individual predictors, including workplace sitting time. Then, how do we measure workplace sitting time? This is a survey questionnaire. How much time in your current job do you spend sitting? And there are 5 responses, ranging from 1, never, to 5, almost always. But I have to point out that this survey questions is not from the main analysis Y data. It's from different data set. Why is that? Because there's no, at least to our knowledge, U.S. cohort study, national cohort study, that have documented both BMI and workplace sitting time. So the next best thing we could do is to use a data external to the NLSY and merge back the information to the NLSY. That's what we did. And the external data we use is the Occupational Information Network, ONET, which is built by the Department of Labor and has been used for academic research as well as many different administrative purposes. This just gives an idea of what the most sedentary and the least sedentary jobs in the U.S. according to the ONET database. So for example, telephone operators is the most sedentary job. The rating is 4.98, very close to the maximum 5, means that they spend almost all their time sitting while they are working. Okay, so with the response variable, with the outcome, with the exposure, we can fit the regression model to see whether, to test our hypothesis. We use a model called the fixed effect regression model. BMI is outcome. AI, you can think of it as the intercept, or you can think of it as the all the individual specific factors that do not vary over time, such as gender, race, ethnicity, and certain genetic factors. B is the coefficient of workplace sitting time, which we are interested in, and then we also have a number of controls, such as age, education, work hours. E is the error term. Then what's good about this model is that during the estimation procedure, the AI could be controlled for, which does not sound like a big deal, but it is huge. Why? Think about how many AIs there are. Race, ethnicity, genetic factor, there could be 1,000 of them, and it is impossible for a survey to document all these variables, and impossible to specify all of them in regression analysis. But through the implementation of this model, all this AI can be controlled for. In other words, this model can control for confounding bias in a very elegant way. Result. First, let's look at the light blue bar at the left. This is the result for the overall sample for both men and women. And it shows that sitting too long is associated with a higher BMI and is significant at the usual 0.05 level. But if we stratify the analysis by gender, the result differs pretty much. For the red bar at the right, it's the result for the female. It is saying that we cannot reject the hypothesis that sitting long time does not contribute to higher BMI. But for men, the result is the reverse. The magnitude is even larger than the overall sample with smaller p-value. So with the result, what does it mean that the coefficient, what does a 0.09 coefficient mean? So for the ease of interpretation, we convert the coefficient to the actual weight gain among male workers. So this shows that how much weight gain is associated with every 10 percentage point increase in workplace sitting time. Well, for example, for the bar in the middle, for a man of average height, 5 feet and 9 inches, the increase amounts to 70 grams or 0.15 pounds, which is fairly modest at the individual level, but not ignorable at the population level. Why is that? Think about the BMI curve of the population, and think about how many adult men will increase, will change from non-obese to obese status if the entire BMI curve shifts to right by this amount. There could be 1,000 or could be no more. So that's the interpretation of the result. So let's go back to the result and discuss why it differs by gender. First, this is not unseen in previous study. Although none of them have provided explanation, we did talk about this in our manuscript, and The explanation includes measurement error and selection bias, and I'll be happy to talk about it if you're interested in it. How valid is the result? Well, that's a question for an empirical study. So we have run a lot of different specification of models. All of them give us the same result or a similar result. We also examine the impact of missing data, but none of them seem to have be huge enough to have biased the result dramatically. Okay, so now we got a very robust result. What does the outcome tell us? Let's get back to the bigger literature on the health impact of sedentary behaviors. We know that sitting too long contributes to a high risk of mortality, cardiovascular disease, and obesity. So it is imperative to reduce high-span sitting at work and off work. And I argue that if an employer can take the initiatives to reduce sitting time at work, it will benefit not only the individual workers, but also the employer themselves, because in these states, it is the employer who bears most of the cost of health care. So the tricky question is not whether, but how. Here are some ideas. For example, we can break our work procedures and then ask employees to do some simple stretch. Or we can use workstations that permit a switching between sitting and standing. Right? Or another interesting idea is you can send instant message to workers to ask them to not to sit for too long. All of them are interesting, but how valid they are and how to implement them probably is a bigger question and requires a little bit more brainstorming. So that's pretty much what I have for today. Thank you for your attention. Please let me know if you have any questions. Yes, I can talk a little bit about it. Well, in general, standing is not viewed as sedentary behaviors because when we stand, we spend 3 times as much as energy as we sit. So actually, we burn quite a bit calories when we stand. So, and because of this, standing is viewed as an option to make people less sedentary at work. Yeah. Does this address your question?
Employees would have responded if their job was standing in one spot, if they would have known that that was considered active versus sedentary.
Right, if, for example, a store clerk, her job is to stand all day long, then usually that is not considered sedentary. But there might be other issues associated with standing too long. For example, the musculoskeletal system may be overburdened if you stand, for example, 6 hours a day.
Yeah. And so my question would go, for example, to your first recommendation for standing and sitting. I can see how people have a desk job,
right,
have the desk modified so that you can stand for a while.
Right.
But I don't know if that has the same implications as if you change work responsibilities for someone with a desk 6 hours a day, and then at a job that they had to go check equipment for 2 hours a day.
Right.
Yeah,
I would say evaluation is difficult. It's hard to evaluate. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.